Psalms chapter number 23, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. I think that's all the announcements I had, the Vacation Bible School and the special meeting coming up. Psalms chapter number 23, I want us to read verses 1 through 6 and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. That's what I feel like the Lord would have us to preach on this morning. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. And the Bible says in Psalms 23 and verse number 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful to be here today and for all the many blessings that you've given to us. Lord, we're not non-deserving. But God, your mercy is great and you're good, and I thank you for that. And I pray and I ask that you'd take the message this morning and use it to speak to our hearts. Lord, I know there's been many things that have already been mentioned today, people that are sick, people that have lost loved ones and that have burdens upon their hearts. But God, we're here this morning, and at this time, I ask that you'd take your word and use it to speak to our hearts. May it be fresh, may it be real. And may it be used to change us for the better. And we'll thank you for all that you do. I come and I ask all these things in Jesus' name and amen. Let's go back just to get started this morning into verse number 1. I just want to read that again. And you may even know it by heart. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, I don't know how many's here that was here when we came to pastor at Mount Lebanon in 2004, but the very first series I ever preached was from Psalms chapter number 23. And just out of curiosity, I was looking back at some of my notes and things that I had from that time, and we spent 14 Wednesday nights right when I first came here in Psalms chapter number 23. And that was in 2004. That was 12 years ago at the end of this month. And I've been writing some articles and spending some time, writing and thinking about Psalms chapter number 23. And it's been a long time since I'd looked back at it, studied over it, but it has really helped me. It's really spoke to my heart as we think about the Lord and His relationship to us and our relationship to Him. And so I began to pray and ask if it'd be the Lord's will, if He would allow me, or if it would be His will to go back and preach a little bit out of Psalms chapter number 23. We're not going to spend 14 weeks in it, but I do want to bring out some things, just some general things, some obvious things out of Psalms chapter number 23. It's without a doubt one of the most well-known, beloved passages of Scripture in all of the Word of God. It might be one of the most memorized as far as more than one verse. A lot of people have memorized Psalms chapter number 23, and you'll find it in the Sunday school room as a little child. I cannot remember a time when I was not familiar with "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I mean, you find it everywhere. You find it in the Sunday school room. You find it in the home. You find it in the place of business. You'll find it in the hospital room. You'll find it down at the funeral home when you go, and you go through, and most of the time the little memorial cards on the back will have Psalms chapter number 23. You'll find it out at the graveside being read in order to comfort the family. You'll find it among the keepsakes of the soldier that's away from home or maybe out on the battlefield. It's been a great source of encouragement and comfort to people that have been traveling and found themselves alone. You'll find it in among the poor and the rich together. I mean, it's very common, very, very well-known passage of Scripture. A lot of people have it memorized, but that doesn't mean they know what it means. It's one thing to have something memorized, but it's a whole thing altogether to really know what it means. And let it be a comfort and a help to your heart. I would say if we really understood Psalms chapter number 23 and took it to heart and really believed it like we ought to, you'd never worry again another day in your life. If you really took it to heart and understood what the Bible was saying here. Last week I preached on out of the New Testament, the book of Galatians. I preached on an allegory. You might remember we talked a little bit about what an allegory is. An allegory is a symbolic representation. And that's what Psalms chapter number 23 is. It's a symbolic representation. It is a representation between the Lord and His people. But He uses the sheep-shepherd relationship to get the point across, to teach us these great truths. And so it's an allegory in the Bible. Psalms 100 verse number 3, the Bible says, "We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." So we that are the Lord's people, we're like sheep. And He is our shepherd. That's the allegory. That's the symbol that's used. We're not really sheep, but we're like sheep. We're just like sheep. And He is just like our heavenly shepherd. So that's what we mean by saying that it's an allegory. It's amazing how many times sheep, shepherds, lambs are mentioned in the Bible. Over 1,000 times you'll find shepherds and sheep and lambs mentioned in the Bible. There's a great many people in the Bible that were shepherds. Abel kept sheep in the book of Genesis. And we also find not only Abel, but we find Abraham had sheep. He was a shepherd. Lot, his nephew, Jacob in the Bible, Joseph and all of his brethren. Moses kept sheep for 40 years. God was preparing him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt by just keeping sheep out in the desert. There's a lot of things we could learn about the shepherd from Moses. David kept sheep. The prophet Amos was a keeper of sheep. All these men were shepherds. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was announced to the shepherds. And the angels told them to go and see. So they were not only was the birth announced to them, it was attended by them. And then the Lord told them, go and tell. So it was once again announced by the shepherds. And so you find shepherds all throughout the Bible. The Lord Jesus in John chapter number 10 likened Himself to the good shepherd. And so He says of His own self that He's like a shepherd. And the first person or the first thing I want us to look at in Psalms chapter number 23 is just simply the shepherd. The shepherd is the key person in this passage of Scripture. He is the principal person. If you just look down through these six verses, you will find over and over again, it is He and thou and thy. If you took away verse number 1, you wouldn't have verses 2 through 6. Because it's all about Him and what He does. You see, a lot of times in life we say, well, what about me? What about myself? What about I? But as we look in the Bible, it's about Him. It's about Him. The Bible said in verse number 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. It's about Him more than it's about us. Then it changes to thou and thy. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, that's talking about the shepherd, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd. He's at the end. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So life is not all about us. although we think it is sometimes, it's really all about Him and for His name's sake, as we read in verse number 3. But I want to show you some things about the shepherd, or think about the shepherd or the shepherd's life here in Psalms chapter number 23. As you think about the life of a shepherd and the ministry of a shepherd, I think first of all this morning that we ought to realize that the shepherd's life is a lowly life. It's a lowly life. If you think about it this morning, cowboys and shepherds do basically the same thing. They move animals from point A to point B. That's what they do. If you know anything about cowboys and cowboy movies and all like that, and really it's interesting, the cowboy life. If you know anything about cowboys, what they did, they moved cattle. They moved it from the south into the Midwest and into the north, and they distributed them from there. But the cowboy life only lasted for about 20 or 30 years. Trains came along and changed the whole scene, and there's no need anymore to drive the cattle like they did once upon a time. But the shepherd's life has been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Yet you know about all kinds of cowboy movies, but you've never seen a shepherd movie. Ever thought about that? You think there's all kinds of cowboys. You could name them in cowboy shows and Gunsmoke and Bonanza and the Lone Ranger and all like that. But can you name a shepherd? The shepherd's life is a very lowly life. They do the same thing. They move animals from one point to the other point. But the shepherd's life, who wants to be a shepherd? Nobody wants to be a shepherd. King David, the Bible says here, this is a psalm of David. David was the king over all of Israel and a great man of power. But he didn't learn to be a shepherd by choice. He learned about being a shepherd because Jesse had 8 sons. Guess what number David was? Number 8. Guess who gets to do all the stuff that nobody else wants to do? The youngest one. And while his brothers were out fighting in the army of Israel and should have been out there killing Goliath, David was out there. What was he doing? Keeping the sheep. Keeping the sheep, that's what he did. He learned about being a shepherd, but it wasn't because everybody wanted to be a shepherd. It's because he was the at the bottom of the totem pole. And if you know anything about Joseph in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, and you remember after a long time in Joseph's life, after he had been sold by his brethren to go down into Egypt, and years passed by, and finally Joseph, I mean God, just works things out in his life, and he becomes second in command in all the land of Egypt. He is only under Pharaoh. He's got Pharaoh's signet on his finger. He is a man of great power. And finally it works out that he gets to bring his family down into Egypt because there's still a famine going on and it's going to go on for several more years. So Joseph sends for his father, Joseph sends for his brethren, and they're coming into Egypt, and Joseph sent word to his brethren. He said, now when they ask you what you do, it's in Genesis chapter number 46. You know, that's what we do when we meet people. What do you do? What's your occupation? Joseph sent word to him, and he said, when they ask you what your business is, tell them that your business hath been about cattle. When they ask you what you do, tell them you're cowboys. Because to the Egyptians, this is what it says in the Bible, to the Egyptians, every shepherd is an abomination. Those Egyptians, when they thought about keeping sheep and they thought about shepherds, it was a stench in their nostrils. They didn't want to hear anything about that. Joseph said, when they ask you what you do, just tell them you're cowboys. Everybody likes John Wayne and all them fellas. Tell them that's what you do. Nobody wants to be a shepherd. A shepherd is a lowly, lonely life. So why would the Lord come as a shepherd? Why would the Lord, of all the things, of all the symbolic representations that He could make concerning Himself and His people, why choose to pick the picture of a shepherd and his sheep? Why would the Lord come and say, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the great shepherd? Why would He do that? Because we're the sheep. And sheep need a shepherd. And sheep cannot live without a shepherd. We have to have a shepherd. Sheep must have a shepherd in order to live. That's why I came lowly as a shepherd. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, about the Lord Jesus Christ, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the shepherd giving His life for the sheep. That's why He came as a shepherd. But I'm glad this morning, if I have to be a sheep, I'm glad He's my shepherd. He's the shepherd. It's a lowly thing. We don't realize today just how the Lord Jesus Christ humbled Himself to come where we are and come in the likeness of men, yet He did that so He could save us from our sins. The shepherd's life is a lowly life. Nobody wants to be a shepherd, but the Lord came and stands to even today as our heavenly shepherd. It's a lowly life. Number two this morning, it is a lonely life. It's a lonely life. All I see when I read here in Psalms chapter number 23 and what I know about sheep and shepherds, it would have to be a pretty lonely life. I mean, it's just the sheep and the shepherd. And sometimes there'll be several shepherds out there, depending on how many sheep there are to keep up with. But it is a lonely life. While the cowboy, well, you know, you watched Bonanza, hadn't you? They all went home at the end of the day in that big house, and that fella always had supper on the table, and they sat around. Not the shepherd, he's out in the fields. A lonely life. While everybody else comes home to mama and children and all like that, the shepherd, his life is a lonely life. He spends weeks and weeks and sometimes months out in the fields with his sheep. And so there's the shepherd with the sheep. What a vast gulf of difference between the two. I mean, I've seen, you can tell sometimes, you can look at a dog, for example. And a dog, you can train it. You can teach a dog to do things. It's a useful tool in cattle and sheep. And I mean, sometimes you can just look in their eyes and you can tell that thing's got some intelligence about it. I've been to the circus and watched the horses and the rodeo and places like that, and they can take a big old horse and they can teach it to get down on all fours and lay down and get back up and stand still and get on its back. And I mean, they can talk to it and get it to do all kinds of things. You know what? You look at that horse and you look it in the eyes, there's some intelligence there. You got something to work with there. But if you ever look deep into the eyes of a sheep, there's nothing there. You ever seen that sort of commercial and them cartoon sheep and they show up at night and they want to be counted? Look into the eyes of them sheep. That's how smart they are. They're dumb. They're dumb. To me, that'd be, I mean, there's nothing to work with there. You ever seen a sheep do a trick? You ever seen it roll over, set down, shake hands, do what it's told to do? Most of the time, not. But it would be, in my estimation, a very lonely life to be a shepherd. The Bible said in John 1 and 10 about the Lord Jesus Christ, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. You talk about being lonely. The people didn't follow Him. The Bible said in John 1 and 11, it said He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Have you ever been somewhere where you felt real lonely? There's nothing in the world like feeling lonely. Some of you that have been in the military, when I think about being all alone, I think about going off to basic training.
I was a sad puppy. I think about going to a foreign country, and I was in Germany one time, and I looked around about me, and everywhere I looked, I could not understand anything that anybody else was saying, and I didn't know. I was in a place I'd never been before. I was just passing through, and I'm telling you, just loneliness came over my soul. I got to think about how far away from home are you? Loneliness, it's a real thing. Homesickness. Hey, thank the Lord Jesus felt. He came into this world and it was made by Him. And His own people rejected Him. And the disciples didn't understand Him more than half the time. What did He say to the disciples? You slow of heart. You can't understand what I'm doing, what I'm talking about. It's like a shepherd trying to talk, trying to converse, trying to fellowship with his sheep. It would be a very lonely life. Jesus left heaven. The praise and the worship and the adoration of the angels. The place where He was known by every living creature and adored and worshiped. And He left and came here. Lonely. You think you've been lonely sometimes. I say the Lord Jesus Christ surely was lonely when He came here and tried to teach and tried to lead. If we were to really take time to study it out, what we would find is back in Psalms chapter number 22, it's called the Psalm of the Cross. And Psalms 22 and verse number 1 is a prophecy about when Jesus went to the cross. It said in Psalms 22 and verse number 1, and you find this actually the words of the Lord Jesus when He died upon the cross. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me from the words of my roaring? He came and on the cross, even His own Father, if you look in Isaiah chapter number 53, forsook Him there. Lonely. It would be a very lonely life. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. That didn't come without a great price. It's a lonely life. It's a lonely life. Number three this morning, it's a very laborious life. To be a shepherd would be a very, very hard life to live. It would be a life that would be full of peril, full of danger. The shepherd's life. Read in the Bible, if you know anything about King David, when before he was king and he went to visit his brethren and he saw that Goliath was out there just making a mockery of the whole army of Israel. And every day, Goliath would come out there and he would challenge and mock and curse the God of Israel and just, you know, somebody come out here and fight me. And they's all a bunch of chickens. Nobody would take Goliath up on his word. David come along. Young, teenage boy, probably I'm going to say 18 years old. Bible said he had a ruddy face. I mean, he hadn't even got to the age where he could grow a full beard in yet. Amen. David gets some time off from keeping the sheep and he comes along and he sees all this going on. And David, he's got some of the Spirit of God about him. And he says, man, somebody ought to just take that fellow on. Is there not a cause? Is there not a God in Israel? Hey, King Saul, I'll go fight the giant. What's your qualifications? Well, I've been out keeping the sheep, and I killed a lion and killed a bear. That's pretty good. He didn't have a 30-06 either. That's all the fighting he had done. Who would die for a sheep? Would you risk your life for a sheep? You look over there in John chapter number 10, and Jesus, He likens Himself to the good shepherd. And Jesus tells about the thieves and the robbers that would come. Would you risk your life to save a sheep? the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter number 20, he's getting ready to leave Ephesus, and he gathers the church leaders around, and he warns them. He said, "After my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Wolves come in and attack the sheep, and wolves, when they come in, they make a massacre of things. Dangerous. Dangerous life to live, a perilous life to live. When I lived in Idaho, one of the men that came to our church, I loved him very much. His name is, I just called him Mr. Bob. He was a modern day real cowboy. He was a veterinarian. Took care of animals, not just little dogs and cats, but he went out and tackled the big jobs and horses and cattle and sheep and all of those things. And we went one time on a backpacking trip. He took us up into the mountains in Idaho. There was a mountain lake, and he wanted to take us up there trout fishing. We had to backpack in and go in. And he began to tell us stories. He said, "Why?" Because they made fun of me because I took a little kid's pup tent to sleep in. Zip up, sleep outside. Well, him and his grandson, they made fun of me because I went to all the extra effort to carry a little tent in. And when we were going up there, he was telling me, "I've slept out under the stars many a time. I used to go out with the shepherds a certain time of the year and help them during lambing season." And he's telling all about sleeping outside and how they took a rifle out there. And I mean to tell you, out there there's bears, mountain lions. I'd be more afraid of a mountain lion than a bear. There's wolves, coyotes, dogs, snakes. I'd be scared of that too. But the worst was the mosquitoes. They laughed at me because I took a little tent, and when we got up there it started raining and the mosquitoes was eating us like you'd eat a hamburger. And I said, "Fellas, I'm sorry." It's just a little kid's tent. And one of them slept under a fir tree or something like that. They was miserable. They was miserable. Would you lay out like that and put yourself in under those kind of conditions and sleeping and worrying about these sheep and taking care of them? I mean, you talk about a dangerous life. It's a dangerous life. Peter said this in 1 Peter 5 and 10. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You think about taking care of sheep. Who would do that? Who would do that for a sheep? I mean, there's some bulls out here that's probably worth $500,000. A sheep? Sheep are a dime a dozen. Who cares that much about sheep? It is a perilous life. It is a pilgrim life. When I read through Psalms chapter number 23, what is there? What is appealing? Now, this would appeal to some people, and it'd be all right on a little vacation. It'd be all right to go out and hike the Appalachian Trail and spend a few days and backpack. That would be enjoyable. But for a lifestyle, all that is in Psalms 23 is outside, green pastures, there's still waters, but if there's still waters, there has to be roaring waters. There's a valley of the shadow of death. There's climbing, there's mountain, there's danger. That's all that there is out there. That would appeal to some, but it's a pilgrim lifestyle. It's traveling, it's going all the time. Not sleeping in your own bed. That'd get old after a while. I used to think I'd like to be like that. I'd like to live 50 miles from town and my nearest neighbor be 10 miles away. And boy, that would just be so nice to live like that. And that's all right until you actually do it. And you're like me. I grew up, man, I can be in Boone in 5 minutes. I can be in Walmart in 8 minutes. But you get 50 miles from town and you need some allergy medicine, it's a pain. You'd better be good at making a grocery list. Because you just don't jump in the car in 5 minutes. And Man, these people in Idaho, they live 50 miles away from anybody. They lived 100 miles away from town, and there's nowhere to go and no doctor when you needed it and nothing to do. I mean, you can only just go out and so much. It's a pilgrim lifestyle. It's a traveling lifestyle. It's not sleeping in your own bed. It's being gone all the time. It's a programmed lifestyle. And you say, well, I'm just stuck in the rat race. It's just the same old, same old. Well, if you was a shepherd, you'd find out that's how their life is too. It's just the same old thing over and over again. It's not a glorious thing. It's a constant thing of caring for the sheep, feeding the sheep, leading the sheep, watching out for the sheep, finding the sheep when the dumb things go out and get lost, rescuing them when they can't find their way home again, shearing the sheep, and over and over and over again. It's just the same old thing. You know, a lot of people think, well, the Christian life, man, that's exciting. And boy, there's all these adventures and things. And you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But, you know, a lot of it is just the same thing. But, you know, fireworks don't last. And God calls us to be faithful and consistent more than He does to do some great thing. A lot of the Christian life is just being faithful, just hanging in there, just staying in there. It's a laborious life for the shepherd. It's a laborious life for the sheep. There's peril and there's pilgrimage. Does not the Bible say that we're strangers and pilgrims are just passing through? I like that. We're passing through. If you don't like how it is now, don't worry. It's going to change down the road. It's not going to take long. It's a pilgrim's lifestyle. It's a program lifestyle. There's a lot of routine. There's a lot of upkeep. My grandfather kept sheep, and I cannot study and think about this without thinking a lot about my grandpa. Because he kept sheep. His grandpa kept sheep. As far as I know, they'd kept sheep back for generations. I don't even know how long. But I got to thinking about my grandpa and his keeping sheep. My dad's life, my life, that's all I've ever known. Those sheep down there, right behind where I live now. My grandpa Greer never had a hobby. Nothing. Can you imagine that? I mean, I can't imagine living like he lived. He never went hunting. He never went fishing. He never collected knives. He never went jogging. Can you imagine some of our parents and grandparents? Well, I'm gonna go out and jog for my health. They would laugh at you. Going to jog up and down the road. Never done anything like that. He never done nothing. The only thing in his life that could be remotely even called a hobby was keeping them sheep. That's the one thing in his life that was constant all throughout his life. And the only thing I can figure out, why would he, when other men would go out and they'd go places and do things, and I mean, he had to come home and see if them sheep was all right. Every evening, his routine, I mean, I can remember it even now. Those sheep got so used to the sound of his Ford pickup that when that pickup pulled in the barn, they knew it was time to eat. He could go out there and blow the horn. As far as I know, he only had three vehicles his whole life. He could blow the horn and those sheep had come to that. He could yell and those sheep would come off the mountain. Why would anybody so tie themselves up, so dedicate themselves to something like that for all those years? Why would they do that? The only thing I can figure out is this. As I study about shepherds in the Bible, it is a loving life. A true shepherd, there's just something about him. The shepherd loves the sheep. When you and I might look and say, for a sheep, give your life for a sheep, dedicate all that time, go to all that trouble for a sheep. Why would anybody do that for a sheep? Because the shepherd loves his sheep. There's just some kind of something there that God puts in a person that the shepherd loves the sheep. My grandpa, I do remember him saying this. He'd say, they're more trouble than they're worth. He didn't get rich keeping sheep. He didn't have to keep sheep. He'd say they're more trouble than they're worth. But he kept those sheep all those years. He kept those sheep as long as he possibly could. He got to where that, well, what really changed things is when Kim and I moved back here, and he gave us a little acreage back behind where his house is, and we had to make the road through there, and it messed up the sheep lot. It was harder to, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to have to rework everything if we're going to put a house over there. And my grandpa finally, he said, you know, I guess I just need to get rid of them sheep. And I remember Kim's Uncle Fred bought his last two ewe lambs that he had. Might have been three of them. I don't remember exactly. But I remember the day Uncle Fred came and he had his little trailer and he backed it up to the barn there. And I went out there with my grandpa, Kim's Uncle Fred. And I remember Uncle Fred got his wallet out and he said, James, what do you want for them sheep? And I can't remember even actually what it was. But he reached in his wallet and he took out some money and he gave it to my grandpa. My grandpa watched them sheep go up that ramp and get in that trailer. And my grandpa is not an emotional person at all. He's stoic. I mean, anything that happened, well, that's just how it is. But when them sheep got on that trailer and he pulled off, I could tell it hurt my grandpa. And I went home and I told Kim, I said, that really bothers me. Because I know he loved them sheep. The shepherd's life is a loving life. We're so dumb sometimes, we don't realize how much God loves us. But I'm telling you, he loved us so much, he gave his only begotten son to die upon the cross so that he could save some old dumb sheep. He loves sheep. The shepherd loves the sheep. It is a loving life. For God so loved the world. He loves everybody. He loves the good sheep and the bad sheep. He loves them all. Oh, I can't understand that. I look at people and I say, how could anybody love them? Boy, God does. God does. He gave his only begotten son. There's just something about a shepherd and his sheep. And so of all the things, of all the relationships in the whole wide world that the Lord could have used to choose a relationship between him and the people he loves, he chose the shepherd and his sheep. And that shepherd, he'll go out and find those sheep. He'll put up with those sheep. He'll care for them. He dedicates his whole life to them. That's why Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He'll die for them. He'll protect them. He'll be there for them. He'll never leave them. He'll never forsake them. You ever heard that before? He's a good shepherd. And it's a loving life. It's hard for us to understand. Last of all this morning, it is a lifting life. All the shepherd does, he does for the benefit and the blessing of the sheep. And his whole desire is to take them higher and higher and higher. Psalms 23 is an actual picture of going from the winter range to the summer range to get up there in those green pastures and still waters and to get through the valley of the shadow of death and to get over into verse number 6. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everything he does is to get those sheep over there where they won't have to run up and down the mountain anymore, but they'll be over there. They'll be over there. That's what Psalms chapter 24 is about. Psalm chapter 24, the next chapter, verse number 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? It's about getting over there. Psalms 22, because he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died on the cross. Psalms chapter 23, he goes with you through life. Psalms 24, we're over there in the hill of the Lord with him forevermore. It's a lifting life. There's three things in verse number 1 I'll quickly point out you need to make sure of today. There's a positive identification. He said the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. There's only one of those. That's Jehovah God. That's Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, the Lord. There is a, second of all, there's not only a positive identification, but there's a present situation. David said, the Lord is. Can you say that today? Who's your shepherd? Who's your God? Who's your Savior? David said, the Lord is. Is. See, I've not done anything to go to heaven except believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He died for my sins. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me. That is the only reason that I or anybody else could stand and say that this is why we have a hope of heaven. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's why I can say the Lord is. And then there's a possession. My shepherd. The Lord is. Now a lot of people talk about God. And God is this and God is that. But David said the Lord is my. That's a personal application. The Lord is my shepherd. There's a real relationship there. I'm a sheep. He's the shepherd. I'm his. He is mine. You need to know those things in life. That's a real simple thing. That's the most important thing in the whole wide world. The Lord is my shepherd. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Could you say with confidence today, you know, the Lord is my shepherd.